The federal government has an informal but large and active community of interest devoted to building and improving public-facing mobile apps. The community is 1,200 strong. Jacob Parcell supports them as manager of mobile programs at the General Services Administration. We discuss what the community of interest works on.
We work on sharing knowledge, mainly how to build a native app, how to design good user experience, how to make that decision on whether or not to make a native app or a mobile website. Predominantly, we're looking a lot at mobile web, but there are a lot of folks doing native applications. We help agencies test their mobile device implementation, specifically on mobile websites. So if you have a mobile website you've developed, there are hundreds of devices out there, and what we do is we help agencies test those. We put people in touch who are doing good native apps in touch with people who are starting out, so we can kind of learn from each other that way. We have done some code sharing where one agency might develop code for a mobile table on a website, and they'll share it with another agency. We have done a number of things. We also help inform, you know, policy when GAO or the White House is looking at mobile and how agencies are implementing it. And we also put them in touch with people who are doing the cool stuff.
It almost sounds like the old Federal Webmasters Consortium early in the days of the web, when nobody was, well, initially nobody knew what they were doing, but they learned quickly. So it seems like there's a lot of learning ahead yet to do in this whole area.
That's a similar approach. That's exactly the similar approach. I mean, I was early in my career when the web managers were in working a long time ago, especially around Hurricane Katrina and things, and that is kind of the model we have. What I pride myself on doing with our communities, we're making sure we try to do deliverable stuff, and we're trying to inform each other as we're building mobile. So if somebody has a thing they did that's really cool, I want people to know about it. But also if somebody tries something out, they build a native app, and it wasn't the right thing to do, they're talking and talking about why they didn't and if they could have done something different or if it wasn't the right approach for them.
And what do we believe at this point that most of the people in the public, citizens, you say you're concerned with citizen-facing, what do most people access on mobile devices? What are they looking for when they go to the government?
They're looking for government information. The Digital Analytics Program collects traffic from federal websites across the government. We know at any given time about 30% of people who are on a federal website are on a mobile device. This can be a smartphone or a tablet, and it can be 30 to 40 depending on what it is. So we know they're accessing information. For the most part, they're kind of looking for one and done. They're looking for one piece of information, they're moving on to something else. They may be looking for like a local social security office, and they're starting to do some services. IRS has a native application that lets you check your tax refund, so as you might imagine, that's a big application at this point where IRS is letting people just go into this native app so they can use it multiple times to check their application. There's some crowdsourcing that's happening via native applications, some citizen science things, as it's called. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but there's this movement in the federal government to use citizen scientists or folks who can collect data to help solve problems like at NASA and things. There are a couple applications in NOAA that are looking to use the traditional native functionality of a mobile device and to use that to actually measure things like the magnetic fields around them. There's an app called NOAA CrowdMag that actually does this. There's actually a magnometer on your phone, and what they do is you download the app, and every 10 minutes it takes a reading of the magnetic fields around you wherever you're at. So wherever you go and you have your phone, it's taking these readings every 10 minutes. And what they've been able to do is they've been able to build a geospatial model based on this crowdsourced data from thousands and thousands of users across the country.
All right, a lot going on. We're speaking with Jacob Parcell. He's manager of mobile programs at the General Services Administration, particularly in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies. And I wanted to return to the idea of information obtaining, which what you say most people are doing when they visit government sites. That would seem to mitigate in favor of having really good mobile websites.
Yes. Mobile websites are most likely what you are going to create in the federal government. What a lot of agencies are doing is called responsive web design. What responsive web design is something where if I go on a website with my smartphone, it knows I have a smartphone and it gives me a user experience based on the size of my smartphone. Tom, if you went on with your tablet, it would give you a user experience based on the size of your tablet. And then if for the rest of us, if we were going on our desktop computer, it would give a user experience based on that size. So what we've been doing a lot of work in is trying to figure out what to put on the small screen, what to put on the medium-sized screen, and what to put on the large screen. I think agencies pretty much have figured out what to put on the large screen, but when you get into those smaller sizes, you have to start making decisions about what is the most important data, what is the most mobile-friendly data, and what is the data and information that people are actually looking for on the go. And this can change. A good example is TSA, the Transportation Security Administration. They have a big website, but what they found their mobile moment as it is the what can I bring function on their website. What can I bring is when you're going to the airport and you want to know what you can bring on the plane, they have a database of like hundreds of items. Well, they mobilized that and they got a lot more traffic and a lot more data from users going and searching that system because they could see what people were searching for. So they used to have like 500 before mobile took off. Now they have thousands of pieces of information that tell you, like, hey, can I bring this bottle of wine on a plane? No, it's too big. Okay, I know not to bring a bottle of wine to the airport or something like that. So that's one piece of information that the mobile user of TSA information is looking for. They're looking for the what can I bring. They may not be looking for all the other stuff at TSA. And this is the conundrum that many agencies are looking at. What is the mobile moment? What is the piece of information that mobile users want to get from my agency?
Because websites on regular desktops and so forth or large laptops seem to be moving in the trend of how much can I cram on here, whereas on the small screen, it's a matter of what do I absolutely need and what else can I get rid of?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, a lot of agencies, you know, are learning that they can't just shoehorn everything they have on that big website onto the small phone. And making those decisions is what we're helping agencies do.
And has the increasing resolution of screens and also the fact that some phones are bigger than Pop-Tarts nowadays, has that changed any of these of the best thinking in how to do this?
Yeah, I think when you do responsive web design, you have breakpoints. So for this size, for this size, for this size, you can have multiple breakpoints. I think the general practice is most organizations, this is not just the public sector, but most organizations are playing with those three break size for tablet, smartphone, and big website. But yeah, you have to increase the quality of your images. You have to make sure for the user experience on mobile web, you have to make sure you're not killing somebody's phone. You don't want your website on a mobile phone to take 10 seconds to leave. It's 10 seconds to load because folks are going to leave your website and they're going to go somewhere else that might not have as accurate information as the government has. So what you have to do is you have to plan for how do I make my images smaller? How do I make sure the information that I'm putting here and the way I code it is loading quickly so when somebody has low connectivity or somebody has a less advanced phone, it's not breaking their phone. So that's another responsibility you have to think about when you're thinking of these multiple devices. And like you said, once a more advanced device, you want to make sure the image looks really good and it's not, you know, it doesn't look really grainy or anything like that.
And when we talk about transactions, which is a different level of web interaction than just seeking information, I would imagine that requires a little bit more work behind the scenes to make sure that all the mechanisms that cause transactions to actually occur is a little bit more complicated than simply having a responsive web page.
Yes, and, you know, there is a little bit of gray area. You know, there are mobile websites that can act like a native application, but primarily when you're doing transactions, a lot of the time you have to do a native application. The reason you have to do a native application, and it's said in the industry, is because when you develop on a native mobile devices platform, they actually know their devices platform better than the responsive tools that are used and the software that's there. So if I'm developing for Apple or for Android and I want to develop a native app, those platforms have software development kits that code directly to their devices. So if I'm coding for Android, I want to use the Android SDK. Now, it has tools and things and shows me how to develop for that, but I also have to start thinking about security and privacy. What data am I collecting from my users, and is this data going to be secure? So those are things to consider, but also what you have to think about is if your app is going to use a phone, is your app going to use a magnetometer, is your app going to use a gyroscope, because you have to close down all these different functionalities that the phone has when you develop an app, because then you can actually create places where people can hack a phone. So you have to think about security and privacy, but you also have to spend more time on how you develop and how the user is going to go through your app. The biggest thing you need to do as an agency, if you're developing a native app, is to keep it very simple. You generally only want to do one functionality. There are agencies that have multiple native applications because they know that the person that uses the native application uses it for one very specific thing and not much else. So you've seen native applications of the federal government that used to do all these different sort of things actually focus on one or two functionalities, and that's all they do. So that's something we've learned in the federal government. And most of the people that are doing native applications are really just playing in the native application software development kit. So if they have an iOS app, they're using Apple. If they're building an Android app, they're sure using the Google Play Store.
Now, last year I sat in a restaurant and booked airline flights and hotels and rented a car on a short vacation, all from my phone. That's probably reaching a little bit further than maybe federal government applications would want to go.
Yeah, I think you know, one of the approaches, and when we talk to people about strategy in the federal government, you know, what is it that your agency does really well? What TSA does really well is they know how to do what you can bring on a plane, what you shouldn't bring on a plane, how much is the wait time at the airport for going through TSA security. Does it make sense for TSA to book airline flights? I don't think so. And also, we know that a lot of agencies are developing application programming phases in hopes that the private sector can actually take the data that they've provided and actually use that as part of a private sector application, just because it's an easier way and a cheaper way for the federal government to get the information out there, and it also gets it to the users of the information. So you might not use census data, but an application that you use may use census data for one little aspect of the native application. And does it make sense for the federal government to actually build applications where there might be a couple different applications already there in the private sector? And this is something that a couple of agencies that I've talked to have thought about when they're planning their mobile strategy.
Let me ask you a little bit about programming. You've mentioned, you know, the software developer kits for the different platforms. Do you find that agencies tend to do their own programming? Are there people inside agencies writing code, or is this all outsourced?
I think the majority of it is outsourced. There are a couple little pockets where agencies are actually doing their own coding, but I would say the predominant way of developing a native application or even a mobile website is through outsourcing and third-party contractors.
Because I don't know how long it takes to build a mobile app, but it's certainly not the same as building an enterprise application. Is this the kind of expertise that maybe some agencies ought to think about having?
I think so. I think the expertise that agencies need to focus on having is knowing exactly what they want. So not so much the coding and the development of the native application or the mobile website, but knowing, hey, we've actually done some user experience studies. We've actually done some paper prototyping. We've done some things to know this is what our users would find acceptable. So I think when you go to contract something out, it's something that you need to know what you want. Internally, I think some agencies, predominantly, they have web developers, so they may be doing a little bit of responsive design internally. But one of the things we created a few years ago was guidelines for contracting out a native application or mobile website development, and just knowing what the coding skills that your developer, or even internally if you're going to have folks in your agency, what you need to train for. So I do think the responsibility of the government is to really know what they want to develop for mobile and how they should engage the user. And then, you know, if they have a development talent in-house, great. But for the most part, they're doing third-party development.
But on the issue of reusable code, for example, because there are so many programming languages, and seems like there's new ones almost every month for mobile development, should they be asking all of the contractors to use a particular language? Is there any advantage to that?
I would say, you know, the languages are changing at all times. So, you know, with APIs, you want to do them in JSON is very popular. In a couple of years, another coding development language could be popular. I would say that, you know, you have to keep up. And one of the biggest things we tell folks is when you develop an application, you need to have some operation and maintenance costs built into an application. You can't just develop an application and leave it alone. You have to continuously update it. If you develop, say, in one of those native software development kits, you know, they update their software, and you have to know what the changes are, and they're good about messaging that. As far as knowing and developing one language, you know, I think the smarter you code it, the better. But there are multiple languages, and we in the federal government, we have multiple software that are developed in multiple languages. So I couldn't say, like, develop an all-in-one language. I just do know if you go native, you should develop in those native SDKs because it's a little bit easier when they update the native operating system.
And if a contractor does develop something that could be reused by your agency or any other agency, as you said, maybe how to render a chart or whatever the case might be, what's a good business model to be able to reuse that such that you're not taking unauthorized use of what the contractor developed, that the contract may not allow you to reuse it?
There is a open source policy that's out for comment right now, and there are agencies that have been successful in being able to share their code once they have developed something that's useful for other agencies. So I think this open source model is something we still need to think about. I know the agencies that do the open source model and can share code later generally have some stipulation written in their contract about that. And I know that the White House and other members of the federal government are working on policies to make that more a common trait. So, yeah, I know the folks that do it generally write it in. And then sometimes you'll have contractors who just believe in sort of this open source method, and they just share it as part of what they're doing. And that's where you see a lot of code in GitHub and things like that from private sector agencies more and more.
We're speaking with Jacob Parcell, Manager of Mobile Programs at the GSA's Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies. And you've got a group down the hall at 18F that has been playing around with reverse auctions to buy code that they can then put on GitHub. What is the uptake of agencies throughout the government looking at what they are obtaining that way and actually using it?
You know, I know that's in the early... I haven't talked to them about that recently, but I know that's in the early stages. I mean, from my perspective, agencies are excited about the idea of doing open source and sharing code. So I'm hoping there's a lot of uptake on it, but I haven't heard anything recently about how that's going for on their side.
But it's safe to say at some point you can envision a place to go for across government to get ready-made code for maybe hundreds, thousands of functions.
That would be nice. I would love to see that, actually. That would be nice.
And I wanted to also ask you about another point you mentioned earlier, and that is the citizen science. And we've had a number of interviews on that here on this show, actually, at the EPA. Has got a very extensive program. What do you see happening in the area of peripherals that can plug into mobile phones that can be useful in citizen science?
There's a lot of experimentation right now. And I think that when I talk to people about these ideas of wearables and Internet of Things and Internet of Everything, one of the things we're going to have to learn to do is really analyze the data to know what our users are doing to make these peripherals more usable and understand how to use them better. I think that one of the things you're going to see in that area is just a lot of experimentation, a lot of small experiments, a lot of big experiments, and a lot of different experimentation around how will people use peripherals. I mean, for me, you know, the idea of the Fitbit makes sense, but I don't know some of the more advanced things I've seen. How do I work that into my daily life? Like I work a smartphone into my daily life. It'll be interesting to see what they come out with, but there's going to be some amazing things coming down the pike in the future.
Because one of the things you have to make sure about is that whatever peripheral you do plug in is works correctly and is accurate, because if you're going to use it for true data gathering, you got to make sure the data coming off of it means something.
Yes, that's right. And so you have to really know the user and how the people use it. And you're going to have more data, so how do you start to sort of decide when there's a decision point based on the data, or there's an action that the app needs to take based on the data it's collecting? And then, you know, the other thing we have to think about, I talked a little bit about security, but also there are privacy things that we have to start thinking about in the way we're collecting these data.
And do you see a day when the mobile device might be the citizen's primary way of interacting with the federal government, such that, oh, I don't know, you could file taxes from a mobile device? Maybe that's the ultimate test of all of this.
I could see that. I think it's not going to happen tomorrow, but I could see the way people are using mobile devices more and more frequently, that it's going to be the must design presentation layer that you're going to have to design for. I also think that, you know, you'll still have desktop computers and people will still use them, but the mobile device will be what hopefully you're designing more for than the desktop. But it's going to depend on what your users are doing and how they're using your information.
And just give us an idea of your group that you manage, the mobile programs. How many people are in there, and what kind of infrastructure do you have to work with to do the work you do?
So I have about 1,200 people in my community. They are all volunteers. We test mobile websites, like I said. We come up and write articles for digitalgov.gov. We're open to only federal employees at this point, but if you went to digitalgov.gov/communities/mobile, you can learn how to join. You'll see some of the best practices. We're getting ready to do some events on this idea of native app versus mobile web. We're always printing articles on digitalgov.gov every Tuesday and Thursday. So if you visit there or you sign up for the DigitalGov newsletter, you'll hear more about what we're doing.
But do you have a room somewhere where you've got an Android and an iPhone and a Windows phone and maybe even a BlackBerry where you can, I don't know, do some lab work?
So the way we do our testing is that we let federal employee X in, you know, Baltimore, federal employee Y in Kansas City, look at the TSA.gov website for an hour, and they use their own device. So we're a little bit more telework friendly, I guess is what we're saying with that. We have been working on a device lab, but we found a lot of success in the sort of federated model where people just use their own device.
So you're like chefs, but you don't do your own tasting.
Yeah, we do some tastings. I have a couple devices on my own, but we don't have a what we would call a lab yet. So.
All right, so what's ahead for all of this? What do you see happening in the next year, year and a half for this whole mobile development program?
I think we need to start focusing on making sure that the agencies that are not mobile-friendly are mobile-friendly. That's something we're always do, but I think now we have more practices and approaches to developing mobile-friendly that we can help out. So I'd like to be a lot more active in helping these agencies become mobile-friendly that are not. I think we have a lot of work to do on performance analysis and measuring what our actual users are doing on mobile, because you can't really enhance your mobile experience without knowing what your users are doing on your mobile website. So if you have a mobile website designed for two or three tasks and you find that they're actually doing one task predominantly, how do you actually enhance that design? I would say the other thing is looking at open data approaches to mobile. The CDC has been working on not just having people come to their mobile website, but creating mini microsites, they call them, that are mobile-friendly and that other organizations can embed on their website. So you can just kind of have your content in multiple places with multiple partners. For instance, they just did a microsite for the Zika virus, preparing for the response to that. So I see a lot of more agencies also syndicating content more and more in various networks. So I think we're going to start to open up how we share our data and how we share our web content, not just on our website, but also looking for partners that can easily consume APIs and other content approaches on their own websites.
Hey, here's an idea for an app that might be popular for both the public and the government. How about, as we get toward the election, trackTheAppointee.gov?
You know, that might be a good idea for somebody out there that's working on the transition team.
Jacob Parcells is manager of mobile programs in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies at the General Services Administration. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.